Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, the 1st of May. This is a minor holiday, according to Jonathan Colton. I'm just going to let y'all do that homework yourselves. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have three fantastic guests to talk about the news of the day. First of all, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kelly. Happy May Day.
Yes, and happy May Day to you. Although I will say in my part of the country, that usually just means riots. So we'll see how that goes this year. Also with me today, I have Brian. Get along, little doggy Jeff. And how are you, Brian?
Had a partner.
So pleased to have all of you with me today. Brian, I want to start with you. And like I said, we're going to talk about the news of the day. And the news of the day is yesterday afternoon's earnings call from Apple.
Yeah, so Apple did announce its March quarter results on April 30th, which was yesterday as of this recording. And the company beat expectations, which was the focus of my initial coverage. And I'll get to that in a second. But basically, Apple turned in $58.3 billion in revenues with earnings per share of $2.55. Now, the thing is that both of those were up year over year, meaning that in the quarter where the coronavirus first started smacking around the economy, Apple beat the previous year's March quarter. And no one was expecting that. So Apple was up 1% year over year on revenues and was up 4% year over year on earnings. And Wall Street was expecting, let me get down to my notes. Wall Street was expecting revenues to be down 5% year over year with earnings per share to be down 10.8% year over year. So in terms of in terms of expectations, Apple blew past Wall Street's consensus estimates.
I'm a little bit of
mixed news in that iPhone revenues were down. It's probably not surprising, but wearables was up and services were up, and that was also not, I mean, like everyone was pretty much pleased by that, which brings us to the let me provide a couple more numbers there. So iPhone revenues were $27.9 billion. That was down 10% year over year. iPad revenues were at $4.33 billion, which was down year over year. And am I getting that right? No, those are estimates. Boy, I'm sorry. I'm doing it. Apple did turn in lower iPhone revenues, but I didn't seem to actually write down what they actually did turn in. So the interesting thing, though, was that at first the after hours market loved
it. Was down about 6%, Brian. So that's 6 or 7%. iPhone revenues went from 30%.
I'm better expecting them to decline 10%. So anyway, the initial after hours reaction was to send Apple stock up, but then in the minutes before the conference call with analysts, after hours traders sent the stock down, and I couldn't figure it out. It didn't make any sense to me, but it turns out that the concern didn't for the June quarter. And Apple always offers guidance. And since they stopped sandbagging several years ago, Apple has always nailed that guidance within a range. And that apparently was what was upsetting after hours trading. But then if you cut to this morning, basically all the analysts are going like, so what? We don't care. Rock and roll. Woo! And most analysts maintained their current rating on Apple, and Katie Huberty, she actually raised her target price from, I think, $2.96 to $3.25 a share and maintained her buy. So, yeah, analysts, it turns out, didn't stock has been trading Oh, let's actually look and see what the stock is trading at right now. And I do, by the way, for the sake of full disclosure, own a very, very, very tiny holding in Apple that has never affected anything that I say about the company. Currently, and 19.5 cents, which is down 1.43%, and is trading at 289.605.
I was not real surprised by this, because I don't think the brunt of the virus hit Apple in the ways we expected. I mean, the retail stores were open until, what, March, roughly middle March, which was most of the quarter. A lot of people who were able to work at home and still kept their job were buying equipment so that they could work at home. I think the June quarter is going to be more of a crunch, which is why Apple deferred on guidance.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Well, yeah. Well, part of what came out of this was, like, as far as the discussion and kind of thinking about their numbers and what they're up to. Andrew, you published an interesting piece this morning that I would like for you to tell people more about.
Yeah, so after the call, Brian had asked me what stuck out the most. And of course, I took that as a challenge and wrote an editorial.
So excellent.
A couple times during the call, I noticed Tim Cook had mentioned remote technologies a couple times. A couple examples is the Apple Watch's ECG feature helps with telemedicine, which is good for both patients and doctors. Mm-hmm. Another aspect is that Peloton, they worked with Apple's team in New York, so they could have a fleet of Macs so they could work remotely.
Oh, okay.
And then internally, he also said that Apple sees a trend where the iPad and Mac should see improvements on a year-over-year basis, and they believe it's largely due to people learning and working from home during this pandemic, which is to be expected. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, well, I wouldn't really think of that because Apple hasn't really been marketing their advertising their remote features during this. And in my opinion, I think they should, because they do have some remote technologies. As we talked about, I think it was yesterday, Kelly, people can do some collaboration on iCloud.com.
Yeah.
If they don't have an Apple device. So if you do have an Apple device, you can do things like Pages, Numbers, and Keynotes, share them with other people. You can now share folders in iCloud, which is great. Yeah. But then I wonder, well, is that maybe a little bit too late? He also says, let me see this quote. He mentioned FaceTime and Messages did see set some new all-time records for daily volume during this quarter. But that made me remember this survey I shared a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I know a survey isn't really definitive hard data, but I think it can be a pretty good measure of at least a little bit of consumer sentiment. So basically, the survey found that FaceTime was the most popular when it came to one-on-one messaging, and it was the easiest to use, but it didn't make any dent at all. 0% growth when it came to group FaceTime.
Interesting.
Which I kind of noted that really isn't surprising, because Apple only added group FaceTime, I think it was last year with iOS 12.1.
And that was kind of late last year too, right? Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that I think a lot of people know about. I think what most people remember is the news cycle that said Apple put it out and it really wasn't working, so they pulled it. So, yeah.
And so basically, I think Apple should do more to advertise these features.
Yeah, especially group FaceTime, I think, is for personal use, right? Like lots of people are going to end up like with the one person at work that has an Android phone or something, right? So it's not necessarily going to be the best option for those folks. But for people at home, like you could talk to your parents and your parents and your in-laws at the same time, or two different people if the three of you are trying to plan something. And there's not a lot of that, I think, that gets attention and like the remote services. Mm-hmm. So
I can anecdotally back this up when I've had friends and family asking me about doing a Zoom call. And it's like, why don't we do a group FaceTime call? And none of them have been aware. Mm-hmm. That is very anecdotal, but it does back up Andrew's central premises here.
And let me point out, mostly for the benefit of Mr. Merlero, the plural of anecdote is not data. Because I know.
Thank you, Kelly.
I know John's just waiting for me to say that. I've had the same thing. Like, you don't have to create a new account. It's just built in technology. So, yeah. John, what do you.
Also safe.
Yeah.
It's encrypted end in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no such thing as FaceTime bombing, if that's for people who've been following the Zoom saga over the last couple of months. So, yeah. That is interesting, though, Brian. And as Andrew pointed out, we did talk about iCloud and Apple ID stuff yesterday on the show, and a lot of ways that there are options available to you with that stuff. So it was interesting that kind of tied into the afternoon. So
I kind of feel like you were on the verge of asking me a question about FaceTime.
Well, I wanted to ask. Go ahead. Go ahead and answer it.
So my take on this is that in addition to, and I agree with the group that knowledge of group FaceTime is rare. But also, when it comes to work-at-home meetings, it's a little bit inconvenient to hold a phone in your hand. And if it's on the desk, it doesn't necessarily have a good look to it. And people want to sit at their desk in front of their PC or front of their Mac and have, you know, a good aspect angle and presentation and steadiness of the camera. And so I don't think people are very experienced at group conference calls with an iPhone on a stand that's properly positioned, because it tends to be kind of held lower. Mm-hmm. And there aren't many stands that put a phone at face level as opposed to the top of your computer on a desk. So I think there's some geometric issues with the uncomfortable look and feel of FaceTime to do a professional, you know, team meeting call.
Yeah. Because I have heard that a lot of people didn't like that automatic face zooming in FaceTime group chats, so much so that in this next version of iOS, Apple is kind of adding an option to disable that.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. I did end up doing a group FaceTime call, and everyone was a little bit off-put by the shifting 60s effect of having people squares come in and out and shift around in circles.
Yeah, it's weird. That is one thing I don't like about it.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Interesting. So, Brian, when you listened to the call and looked at the numbers and kind of listened to what kind of things the analysts were trying to find out, what was your takeaway?
Largely the same as normal. People, you know, analysts don't really understand Apple. Analysts have largely jumped on board the Apple train, but from my perspective, they've largely done so for all the wrong reasons. They just happens to work out. Like, they don't really get Apple's value proposition and Apple's business model. But, you know, after years and years and years of Apple just like going ahead and making a lot of money despite not licensing iOS or macOS or whatever, mm-hmm. analysts largely don't complain anymore.
That's true.
There was definitely a lot of like, what are you going to do with services? Well, we're going to do some stuff and we don't talk about it. You know, what are you going to do about new products? Well, we don't have anything to announce today. So, you know, there was a lot of that stuff too. Yeah. I found this particular earnings calls Q&A session to be particularly snoozy.
Yeah, it did. It kind of felt like they were just sort of checking a box, right? Like, I'm supposed to sit here and ask a question and I'm going to try and get you to tell me something that I know you're not going to tell me. And we all know that this is all that's happening. So let me just go through my motions. So, yeah, that was kind of the impression that I was getting from it, too. And John, I know that you always kind of sit with it and come up with something the next day that's sort of an interesting take on what they said, or your assessment of what it is that they're telling us. And I know one thing that you talk about sometimes is Tim Cook having to be in salesman mode.
Hey, that's Brian.
Oh, Brian. Sorry. I meant Brian.
Yeah, he was not in salesman mode, but John, I think, had the same observation. And since I've talked a lot, please, John.
Yeah, Tim was in a very sober, serious mood. And that's what's inspired my editorial in part yesterday when he talked about Apple's broad responsibility and obligation to the community. It was a very even-handed, very sober, very technical, very reassuring kind of, we're doing our part, we're being responsible, we're helping out, and by the way, we did pretty well in certain areas.
Well, and that's the thing. It's when Apple has a good quarter, Tim is usually pretty serious and no nonsense. And when Apple has a less than stellar quarter, Tim goes into the salesman mode where like everything is like super upbeat. And you know, it's just got these different tonal qualities. And it's been pretty consistent. And yesterday's presentation and was very no nonsense, sober Tim Cook. And it was a very good quarter. Apple's a lot to be proud about this quarter. They raised dividends again, too, by the way, in the midst of a pandemic. They added another $50 billion to the $40 billion that was still on hand from previous stock buyback operations. They haven't had to ask for any government assistance or bailouts. They added to their cash on hand. Apple has a lot to be proud of. And not to mention their contributions for, you know, helping out during the crisis.
I just thought of something else, Brian, something Tim Cook said yesterday about China. You know, Apple's a global company and this virus is hitting different countries at different times. And China's out of it and the Apple stores in China are open. And so we can't just look at the difficulty for the U.S. for quarter three, because some countries will be coming out of it as the U.S. is sort of in the midst of it. And so that's going to mitigate a bad quarter a little bit with Apple because of the phasing of the world's countries and their status in this virus.
Yeah, that's true.
Like New Zealand's done. New Zealand's over. I mean, you know, they had their, they were smart. They were quick to react. They had great leadership. And so, they're reeling the downside of the curve.
They're done until and if, and hopefully this won't happen to them. Another infection makes it into the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I personally be hesitant on, you know, such phrases as a country is done with this.
So Apple's quarter three isn't going to be, I think, as bad as some people might predict based on the U.S. situation.
Yeah.
It's hard to see. I mean, Apple credited the apps, Apple Store, the online Apple Store. Mm-hmm. And saying that they had to have obviously seen unprecedented demand there.
Sure.
So there.
Yeah. So.
And then another thing that stuck out at me too. At one point, Luca had mentioned, I have the quote right here. He says, we are making new investments in the new services that we launched recently. And then, as you know, we purchased the baseband activities from Intel. And obviously, we want to develop that technology because we consider it's a core technology for us. Now, there's been this rumor that Apple wants to develop its own modem for iPhones in order to not be so reliant on Qualcomm. And so to me, I just thought, if it was important enough for Luca to mention, then it sounds like maybe that is still going well for them.
What do you guys think?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah,
it's certainly possible.
Especially
that's a good read.
As a thing to hear him talk about. So
Yeah. What's his name again?
Luca.
Luca Maestri.
Luca Maestri.
I think I've seen him before.
I'm seeing what you did there, Brian. If I recall, you may have told me he lives upstairs from you.
Yeah, exactly. I can't help but hear that every time I hear his name.
Yeah, I do that too.
But thank goodness his English is he's so much easier to understand than he was when he first took over the job.
Yes. I'm glad that it's much easier to follow what he's telling me. Because the stuff that he gets into is all the number stuff that kind of gets sometimes into the weeds a little bit, depending on how much information Apple's trying to give us. And it's hard for me to follow some of that in the first place. And so having him say all of that more clearly makes it a lot easier for me to follow along. So I've definitely noticed that trend as well. That's going to do it for us today. We've got nowhere to go from Luca's address. So I guess we're going to have to call it for the weekend. Thank all three of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend, everyone.
John Martellaro, thank you for being here.
So everyone stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Yes. And Brian, as always, thanks for being here, Buckaroo.
Yep.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I hope everyone has a great weekend. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, let's be careful out there.